Shalom Aleichem. My name is Rabbi Adam Dubin. First, I'd like to once again say that learning this evening is for the Refuah Shleima of Zev Ben Leah, that's Dr. Zev Zelenko, as well as all the other Chole Yisrael. So this week's Parsha is double Parshas, Parshas Tzadriz Metzora. And the primary focus of these two Parshas is with the, we'll call it a spiritual malady with a physical manifestation known as Tzaraas. It's often referred to in English incorrectly as leprosy. However, it's not really connected at all to leprosy. But apparently there are some physical manifestations that are similar, which is why some of the translators choose to use the word leprosy. I prefer to personally always refer to it as Tzaraas. There is no definition of an illness today that I'm aware of that is anything really close to Tzaraas. At any rate, the Rashbam, who was of Shmuel ben Meir, one of the Bali Tosis, the grandson of Rashi, notes a unique type of disease, so to speak, that that is Tzaraas. And this begins. He's looking at the parsha of it's found in Sazria. It's Perek Yud Gimel Pasuk Beis. I'll just read the that first. It says Adam Ki here, Beor Visrosh the Ace O Sapachas O Beheres Vahaya Beor Besarim Negel Teras Vahuva Elaharun Hakoyin O El Achad Mibanav Hakoyinim. Right, that a person, if he has on his skin one of the afflictions, different types, call this the ace or sapachas, or a white spot, the beheres, and appears on his skin as a mark of tzaraas, he should be brought before Aaron HaKohen, or to one of the other kohanim, to diagnose, so to speak. And again, the Rashi on the pasuk. Rashi and the Pasuk just goes on to say that these are the names of the types of Tzaraas, the Seisr, Sepachas, and they're obvious that one is whiter than the other one. Rashi says this is we get from the Gemara Maseches Shavuos, Daf Amud Beis, as well as in the Sifra, and the Beheres, it means a spot, which he says is a tie in Old French, and you find the word also in Eov, like bright clouds in the sky, in the word Behir. And so Rashi also mentions that because you bring such a person to Aron HaKohen, or to one of the other Kohenim, that Rashi says that this is, means that the Tuma or Tara status, the, again, I hate to use the word purity or impurity, there are no real translations into English of the words Tuma and Tara, but these spiritual states don't occur until the Kohen declares someone to have Tzaraas or to not have Tzaraas. And that, again, Rashi is from the Sifra. So, again, the Rashbam, one of Rashi's grandsons, says that all of these sections dealing with the different Nagayim, the different afflictions, the different types of Tzaraas, that on people, on garments, on houses, and the manner in that they appear, as well as the number of days of requiring a being outside of the camp, as sequestration, quarantining, we think of, and the white, the black, the golden, identifying hairs, the different types of marks, may not be understood by following the simple pshat of the pasuk. Neither can we rely on a standard knowledge of human expertise, such as medical information. Rather, we have to follow the midrash of Chazal and in their analysis of Chazal and their decrees and all of the knowledge they receive throughout the generations. This is the essence of the matter. Again, that is the Rashbam. So basically what the Rashbam is saying is that you can only understand Tzaraas from the Torah's point of view. You can't understand it from a physical point of view or a psychological, physiological, medical perspective. This is because it doesn't follow the laws of biology. Instead, it's a spiritual affliction that has a physical manifestation, as I mentioned before. And the Rashbam also notes that the tzaras directly affects the house. You see this in Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Vadal Lamed Hey, which says, right? That when you come into Eretz Canaan, that Hashem speaking that I'm going to give you as a possession, and I put a mark of Tzaras on the house in the land of your possession, and the person to whom the house belongs shall then come to tell the Kohen, saying there appears to be something like Tzaras, affliction, on my house. Of course, then the Kohen comes and will declare what he needs to do to determine if really it is Tzaras or it is not Tzaras. So, again, just looking at Rashi briefly on these two psukim. So when the Nasati Nega Tzaras, when you come into the land, and I put a Tzaras mark on the house, Rashi says this was an announcement to them that these plagues, if you will, would come upon them. And this is based on the Sifra and the Masechet Torios, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, because the Amorayim concealed treasures of gold in their walls of their homes during the whole 40 years that the Bnei Yisrael were in the Midbar, in order that they would not possess them when they conquered the land. And in consequence of this plague, they would pull down the house and discover them. See also the Yikra Rabbah. So, Kenega Nirali Babayis, that the person who goes to the Kohen and says, it looks like there is something that appears like Tzaras in my house, even if he, that is the owner of the house, is a Talmid Chacham, and he understands, he knows for sure that it is Tzaras, he can't decide it. Rather, he has to say that it looks like it's Tzaras. And here we see the Gemara Masechet Nagayim and the Sifra. That it has to be that the Kohen is the one who determines whether or not it is a Tzaras affliction. Right? And so Rashbam notes as well, that one of the forms of Tzaras that affects the house, when you come again into the land of Eretz Yisrael, with Eretz Canaan, and you'll take it as a possession, I'll put Tzaras on the house, again, you say to the Kohen, it looks something like it's a kinega. I want to point out specifically, it says kinega. It appears to be like it's a nega on the house. So the Pasuk says, when you come into Eretz Canaan, that it appears kinega. It appears to be its negative. You know, Tzaras is not the positive thing. We always think of Tzaras as being that it's a punishment for something. Especially since, as well, when you find the Tzaras and it turns out to be Tzaras, what do you have to do? Tear down the house. Tear down its stones, its wood. Everything of the house needs to go to turn it to dust if the Tzaras cannot be removed in any other way. And Rashi, basing himself on the Gemara and another Midrashim, notes that the destruction of the house actually results in the fortunate outcome that I mentioned just a moment ago, that what was the reason to knock down the house? To find the hidden gold and treasures in the walls of the house. So this, at first glance, seems to be difficult to understand. Why Chazal would interpret the Rashi, Venefati, that you see a lesion, a Neged Tzaras, on the house in this way. So Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein, better known as the author of the Torah Tzemima, he addresses this problem and suggests this solution. He says, the reason for this analysis comes from the word vinasati. Since in our instance, the Torah doesn't say when the Tzaras will be found on the house, in the land, as in the case regarding the tsaras that affects people and clothing. Moreover, in general, any form of the expression nesina, giving, such as the word v'nesati, that's the form from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leads to something positive. So we find v'nesati, your reigns in our time from later in later on in Sefer Vayikra. V'nesati, that shalom ba'aretz, that you find peace in the land, also later on in the Chumash. And v'nesati ge'ula, you'll find the salvation in Tzion, in Eretz Yisrael, in my glory. This we find in Sefer Yeshayahu. And therefore, they interpreted this use of the term v'nesati as having a positive effect. Again, that is the Torah Tamima. So, again, the Torah Tamima says that Chazal understand v'nesati in a way that lines up with Rabbi Akiva's famous statement that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is for the best. And this we see the Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Samech Amud Beis. The next pasuk contains a fascinating nuance that again we mentioned before. Something kinega, that it's like a lesion, like the tsaras has appeared on my house. So why do homeowners need to speak in this indeterminate way? Especially again, if as Rashi goes on to say, even if the person is a Talmud Chacham, even if he knows for sure that it would be tzaras, why does he have to speak that way? Why can't he not speak in a more straightforward manner? So again, Rashi draws our attention to the Gemara Maseches Negayim that says, like our pasuk, that it's kinega rather than it's nega, and this is the way we have to say according to Halacha, even for Talmud Chachamim. So as we would expect, there are many different approaches as to why this is the case, and one of them is offered by the Mizrahi, who's one of the Perushim on Rashi, who says basically that I've heard from my teachers that this pasuk is not being precise in its language in regard to stating something it absolutely is a nega or doubtfully that's kinega, that is tahor or this tame. Rather, it's addressing the matter of derech eretz, which we might translate as a ethical behavior. That is, a person should never declare a nega to be tamei, even if the matter is crystal clear to his eye. That is, there's vadai, that he knows with certainty. Instead, he must always say that the nega is only a suffix tamei. It's perhaps that it's tamei, and leave the determination to the kohen. And this follows what Chazal says, that we should always teach with our mouth, with our tongue, and say, I don't know. This is the Gemara Maseches Tama Bavli, Brachos, Daf Dalet Amar Aleph, and the Sefer Mizrahi on our Parsha. So Mizrahi's explanation is, in a few short words, he has universalized perhaps the Mishnah's ruling and place it squarely in the category of Derech Eretz, an area of our spiritual lives that cannot be overestimated. As Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman famously said in the Midrash Vayikra Rabbah, Derech Eretz Kodem LaTorah, that the Derech Eretz preceded the giving of the Torah by 26 generations. The underlying meaning of this concept was given once in Rabbi Elazar ben Azari's earlier statement in Pirkei Avos, that if there is no Torah, there's ain Torah ain derech eretz. If there's no Torah, there's no derech eretz. And as well, ain derech eretz ain Torah. If there's no derech eretz, there is no Torah. Now, in other words, even though we are blessed with the Torah, it is in addition to the fundamental obligation to live our lives based in a positively with positive ethics and morals in our actions. The Torah itself depends on their derech eretz. Now, of course, just what to mention, that derech eretz has other definitions as well, including that it could be referenced to parnasa, but in the way that I'm looking at it, we're using the more common definition of derech eretz, which is literally the pathway past the land, but it means that it's the ethical, moral way to do things. So, may HaKadosh Baruch Hu guide us in our path of righteousness and justice. May the Derech Eretz be reflected in our actions and enable us to become His authentic servant, so to speak. We should do our best, strive to have Derech Eretz in every aspect of our lives. Even when we disagree with other people, we should do so in a way that it is not going to put them down. And always with the eye towards being positive, ethical, moral to each other and to everything we do in our lives. And by doing so, Amir Tishem, we'll be able to fulfill all the mitzvahs of the Torah in the best way that it is meant to be done, that is with the in the third base of Mikdash in the Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, may be speedily built in it. And I wish everyone once again a good Shabbos, and I forgot to mention as well, and anyone, I want to wish a Mazel Tov to anyone who learned Daf Yomi and completed the cycle, the Masechta of Shkalim this past week, and Hatzlacha Rabba with the Masechta Yuma, which we started this week as well. Once again, I wish everyone a good Shabbos, Zayka Vengeance.